Praise God. Let's pray over the word right now. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you and we praise you for your word today. Lord, I thank you and praise you that your word will not return void, but I thank you, Father, that it will produce fruit in our hearts and our lives today. And I pray, Father, that you would help me to speak this word as you've given it to me. Help everyone to hear it and to receive it by the help of your Holy Spirit today. We thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. You may be seated if you're not. And I think everybody is by now. Praise God. 2 Chronicles chapter 1. Go with me there. I was reading this the other day. I was reading through the Old Testament and made it to 2 Chronicles. Praise God. And I read these words in 2 Chronicles 1 and verse 6. And they really stood out to me along with some words in 2 Chronicles 7 that we're going to read next. But 2 Chronicles 1 verse 6. This is when Solomon was anointed to be king. This is when he first became king. It says, "And Solomon went up there to the bronze altar before the Lord, which was at the tabernacle of meeting." Now, this was before they'd built the temple, of course, which was at the tabernacle of meeting, and offered 1,000 burnt offerings on it. So when he became king, he offered not one, not 10, not 50, not 100, but 1,000 burnt offerings. That's a lot of burnt offerings, isn't it? That just stood out to me. And then I read this as I continued reading there in 2 Chronicles in chapter 7 and verse 5. Now, this is after they got the temple built. Solomon became king, and it took him 7 years to build the temple. And so when they got the temple built, it says this: "King Solomon offered a sacrifice of 22,000, not 1,000, 22,000, 22,000 bulls and 120,000 sheep." Can you imagine that? So the king and all the people dedicated the house of God. So again, as I read these verses about Solomon, I was struck by both the magnitude and the intensity and the number of King Solomon's sacrifices to the Lord. Again, not just one, but 1,000 burnt offerings. Not a few sheep, not a dozen sheep, but 12 times 10,000. 120,000 sheep. Now, so what does that have to do with us? Well, here's what it has to do with us. In the New Testament, we read these words in Hebrews 13:15. "Therefore, by him," by Jesus, "let us continually offer the" what? Come on, come on, where you're at, folks? Where are you? Amen. Are you with me? Is your mind off somewhere down the road somewhere? Amen. Stay with me. "Therefore, by him, let us continually offer the" what? There we go. "The sacrifice of praise to God, that is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name." So today, the good news is, it's good news to me. I hope it's good news to you. The good news is we're not required to bring bulls and sheep to sacrifice. That would be messy, wouldn't it? And it was messy. It was messy in a lot of ways. But they did it. And they didn't just offer one, but 1,000, 22,000, 120,000. Wow. Today, we don't have to do that, though. In the New Covenant, we still have a sacrifice to bring, though. Amen? And it's called the sacrifice of praise. And then Paul, the writer of Hebrews, I believe it was Paul, he gets very specific and he says, that is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. Now, I have a question for us this morning. Even though we don't have to bring the bulls and goats and sheep and all of that, should our sacrifice of praise be any less intense or be any less extravagant than the sacrifices that Solomon made? I say they shouldn't, as you have said. If anything, they should be greater. Because look at what Jesus has done for us. All they were sacrificing about was the law and the fact that their sins were covered over for another year. Our sacrifice today is we've been saved. We, as we sang it earlier, my chains are gone. I've been set free. My God, my Savior has ransomed me. He's bought me out from the kingdom of darkness and brought me into His kingdom. Our sacrifice ought to be as intense, if not more so. As extravagant, if not more so. Amen? Amen? But too often, why do we find it a chore even to praise God for 15 minutes on a Sunday morning? And as Dad Hagin used to say, if you can't say amen, say oh me. Think about that. If we were Solomon brought 1,000. Well, you know, he didn't say, okay, I guess I need to offer God something. There's a burnt offering, Lord. I hope you're happy. Now I can sit down and rest. He offered 1,000. And then when they dedicated the temple, 120,000 sheep. They brought him 10, 20, 100. He said, that's not enough. Bring some more. Bring some more. And they, I don't know how long it took them, but they kept on until they offered 120,000. And we let our, and this is the problem. What happens is we have flesh. Anybody notice that? You still have flesh? You know, put your forefinger and your thumb together on your, and pinch yourself a little bit, okay? You still got flesh, right? And our flesh is not at all interested in praising God. And most of us, are used to letting our flesh call the shots. But we also have a spirit. And our spirit's been born again. And our spirit wants to praise God if we'll allow it to. If we'll let our spirit take ascendancy over our flesh. Amen? And also another thing is we need to renew our mind or to remind ourselves of what the purposes are, the powerful purposes of praise. What happens when we praise God? What's released when we praise? Is it just an act of an obligation that we have? Or are there deeper things that happen when we praise God? I believe there are deeper things that happen when we praise God. So I want to talk to you this morning. I want to talk to you about the purposes of praise. And so write these down if you want to make, and there's a place on your back of your bulletin there to make notes. I'd encourage you to write these down so you can remember them, so to help you and help you be motivated to praise God. So number one, as we've already talked about, praise is a sacrifice. Praise is a sacrifice. It's our sacrifice. We don't have to offer any blood anymore. The blood of Jesus has already been shed. All that blood that had to be offered in the Old Testament was a foreshadowing. It was a placeholder until the blood of the Lamb of God could be shed. Once that blood's been shed, there's no longer any blood that has to be shed as a sacrifice. But our sacrifice now is a sacrifice of praise. It's the fruit of our lips giving thanks to His name. And about this sacrifice in Hebrews 13, the very next verse, we read 15, the next verse 16 says this, but do not forget to do good and to share, for with such sacrifices, doing good and sharing, along with what he said in verse 15, giving the fruit of our lips as praise to God, with these sacrifices, it says, God is what? He's well pleased. He's well pleased. Amen. Praise God. He's well pleased when we offer these sacrifices. So number one, praise is a sacrifice, and it's a sacrifice that's well pleasing to God. Amen. Second thing is this. Praise is a spiritual weapon. Praise is a spiritual weapon. We were talking about this at the pastor's meeting that I go to. I get together once a month with some local pastors, and Pastor Buddy Barron that did our Christmas banquet, you know, a couple of years ago. He does the teaching every month and does a great job, and I love him, and he's such a wonderful teacher and mentor. But Pastor Buddy was talking about spiritual warfare and talking about how a lot of times we really don't know, folks enter into spiritual warfare and they don't know what they're doing. and they really enter in. And you know, Dad Hagin's addressed some of this in the past about people getting into excess. But we know that praise is a proper spiritual weapon. Amen. Praise is a spiritual weapon. Praise God. And that's what happened. When we praise God, we are releasing a weapon against the devil, against the enemy, against demonic forces, and against Satan's activities in our lives. Praise God. In Psalm 8, verse 2, it says this, out of the mouth, out of where? Out of the mouth of babes and nursing, and even babies can do this. Out of the mouth of babes and nursing infants, you have ordained strength because of your enemies, that you may silence the enemy and the avenger. Everybody say, silence the enemy. Yeah. Amen. So that doesn't say anything about praise. Well, I want to take you to the New Testament. I want you to hold that thought that out of the mouth of babes and infants, God's ordained strength. And what happens is that the enemy is silenced through this activity. Well, what is that activity? Well, Matthew 21, verse 15, this is the on the triumphal entry. On Palm Sunday, Jesus is entering Jerusalem on the last week before his crucifixion. Verse 15, it says, but when the chief priests and scribes saw the wonderful things that he did, and the children crying out in the temple and saying, Hosanna to the Son of David, they were indignant and said to him, do you hear what these are saying? And Jesus said to them, yes. And I can just imagine with a big smile on his face saying, yes, I sure do. And it's beautiful. It's wonderful. Yes, he said, have you never read? And that was a little... Jesus had a sarcastic streak about him. Because the scribes and the chief priests and the scribes were the people that wrote the Bible down. Now, they didn't... They copied it. And he said, oh, I guess you probably never read this. That was like... That was the greatest dig that he could make to them. It says, oh, you probably, you probably never read that. I know I brought this up, but you probably never read it. I need to explain it, don't I? Yes, have you never read? Out of the mouth of babes and nursing infants, you have perfected praise. So Jesus is quoting that verse in Psalms where it says you've ordained strength, and Jesus quotes it, you've perfected praise. Hallelujah. So we can substitute that in Psalm 8 and say that praise silences the enemy. Amen. You have perfected praise. Hallelujah. So praise silences the enemy, and praise is also spiritual strength for us. It is indeed a spiritual weapon. There's other verses we could go to. I would direct you, make a note, and read Psalm 149. Let the high praises of God be in their mouth and a two-edged sword in their hand to execute on the enemies the judgment written. Glory to God. That's a spiritual weapon. When we praise God, it silences the enemy, it weakens the enemy, it defeats the enemy, and it brings strength to us. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Then number three, praise is an act of faith. Praise is an act of faith. In 2 Chronicles, again, going back to the Old Testament, in 2 Chronicles 20, you know, I've preached on this many times. You're familiar with the account when Jehoshaphat was king over the kingdom of Judah, and the three enemy armies, the Ammonites, the Moabites, and the people of Mount Seir, allied together and came to attack the kingdom of Judah. And it was reported to King Jehoshaphat, and he called the people together, and they sought the Lord, and they prayed, and then God gave them a strategy. He said, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. And so they went out, and Jehoshaphat said, what we're going to do is we're going to send the singers out ahead of the army. We're going to put the singers, the Levites and the Kohathites, the singers, we're going to put them out first, and they're going to go out, and they're going to sing praise, and they're going to say, for the Lord is good, for his mercy endures forever. And they did that. In verse number 21, it says, when he had consulted with the people, he appointed those who should sing to the Lord and who should praise the beauty of holiness as they went out before the army. Think about that. I mean, you got three enemy armies coming against you, and then the singers are there in the back. You know, they're not combat tested. They're not infantry. They're the guys on the back line, not on the front line. And he says, "Hey, guys, I've got an idea. I want all of you singers to come out on the front line, to come out ahead of the army." How many of you know that was an act of faith on their part to get out there in front of the army between the guys that had the swords and the spears and the weapons and the enemy? They were in between. All right. And I'm sure there was a potential of friendly fire as well. And so it says they went out before the army and were saying, "Praise the Lord, for his mercy endures forever." Verse 22, look at this. "Now, when they began," everybody say, "when they began." "When they began to sing and to praise, the Lord set ambushes against the people of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir who had come against Judah, and they were defeated." Hallelujah. That act of faith put God to work. That act of faith caused the Lord to ambush the enemy. Hallelujah. And what was that act of faith? That act of faith was them praising God. Amen. And for us today, praise is an act of faith. When the enemy is coming against you, sickness or financial lack or family problems or whatever it may be, and you begin to get overwhelmed and you begin to get discouraged and you begin to fall into despair, what can you do? One of the greatest things you can do as an act of faith, as an act of showing and demonstrating that you believe God and that you trust God and that you believe that He's going to keep His word in your life, is to go ahead even when you're not feeling good. It's to go ahead even when there's no money in the bank account. It's to go ahead even when you haven't seen anything change, and begin to praise God and begin to say, "Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Lord, you are good. You are good, and your mercy endures forever. Father, thank you that you're working. I praise you today. You are good. Hallelujah." Praise God. It's an act of faith. Amen. Hallelujah. They had prayed. The children of Israel had prayed. Jehoshaphat called them together and they'd prayed, but the answer came, deliverance came while they were praising. Hallelujah. Most of us, you probably prayed about your situation. Now it's time to start praising. Paul and Silas were in the jail in Philippi and they had prayed, but the Bible says they began to sing praises to God. And it says this, it says, "And the other prisoners heard them." So they weren't saying, "Praise the Lord." Now they're, "Hallelujah, praise you, Lord. You are good, you are good." And they started praising God and they started talking about their salvation. They started singing about being saved, because when the earthquake came and when their chains fell off, the jailer came in and said, "Save? What's this save stuff? What must I do to be saved?" So they had been praising God about their salvation. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. So it's an act of faith. Hallelujah. Now, the Bible says here, look at what it says, when they began to what?
Sing.
To sing and to praise. You know, it's possible to sing without praising. It's even a church song. Even a Christian song. Even in church, it's possible to sing without praising, because praise means our heart must be engaged. Amen. Jesus said it this way. He said, "These people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me." And so our hearts have to be engaged. Amen. Now again, don't confuse that though. Don't confuse your heart with your feelings. Because you may come in one Sunday morning, or you may get up one Monday morning and you may say, "Well, I don't feel like praising God, so I guess my heart must not be in it, so it won't do any good." No. Don't confuse your... Are you following me? Don't confuse your feelings with your heart. You can put your heart into it even if you don't feel anything. Amen? Don't be governed. We can't be governed by our feelings. But it is possible to sing without praising, but I really don't think it's possible to praise without singing. Amen. Because now, again, you can praise God. You can praise God without singing, but not for very far. I believe you're going to get into singing. Amen. So I know everybody can't sing like me. I realize that. Somebody said, thank God. No, stop that. But now we can all sing. I said we can all sing. We're all called to sing. We all should. The Bible says make a joyful noise. Even if it's a noise, God likes it. Yeah. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. And the psalmist also said, he said, I will bless the Lord at all times, and his praise will continually be on my lips and in my mouth. Amen. Exactly. Exactly. If you're reading through the health food devotional, you read this several weeks ago, back in May, I think it was. And I'd heard Dad Hagin share this testimony many times, but he talked about an evangelist, a preacher that was diagnosed with tuberculosis. And this was back in the 30s. Tuberculosis was rampant. It was really a bad and rampant disease back then. It's been eradicated quite a bit now. But this man in the early 30s, he was raised up from his deathbed, and this was how it happened. He was a young married man, and he and his wife had a little baby, and it was discovered that he had tuberculosis. And when he would go, and he was still out traveling and preaching, and when every church that he went to where he would hold a revival, he would say, I would like to ask you folks to pray for me. Please pray. I've been diagnosed with tuberculosis. I've got a young wife. I've got a baby. I don't want to die. I want to live. Please pray for me. And every outstanding healing evangelist in that day had laid hands on him and prayed, but he grew worse instead of better. And finally, he came to the point where he just couldn't go any longer. Couldn't travel, couldn't preach. And so he became bedfast, and he and his wife and child went to live with her family in Corsicana, Texas. And he's lying in the bed there in the house, and he looked out the window at their farm, and he saw a clump of bushes and trees about a quarter mile away, big, big farm area there in Texas. And he said to God, he said, if you'll give me enough strength to get down here get down there to that clump of trees, I'm going to go down there, and I'm going to pray till I get healed. I'm going to pray till I get healed. All right. And so he got down there. He made an effort to get up. He dragged himself down there. He fell down exhausted, and he was laying there on his back, and the devil said, now you've done it. You're going to die here. Nobody's going to know where you are. They won't be able to find you till the buzzards come and start picking at your body. You're going to die right here. And so he says, while he was lying there, trying to get up enough strength to whisper a prayer, he started thinking about all the people that had prayed for it, or that he'd asked to pray for it. And he said, if they all prayed only 5 minutes a day, there's no telling how many hundreds of hours of prayer would have gone up for him. And he said, if all that praying can't get the job done, there's no use in me praying now. He said, in fact, I'm not going to pray at all. I'm going to lie here on my back and just praise God for my healing. Amen. He could have prayed and died. He would have been praying in unbelief. Prayer had already been made. He needed to change gears now. He started whispering. That's all he could do is whisper. He's so weak. Praise the Lord. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. And as he continued to do that, he started getting stronger. He seemed to get enough strength to raise his hands. An hour and a half later, after he had sacrificed about 1,000 burnt offerings, you see. After he had sacrificed maybe 120,000 sheep. He didn't stop at 5 or 10. An hour and a half later, have any of us ever praised God for an hour and a half? I don't know that I can say that I have, solid. An hour and a half later, he's standing up with his hands up, and he's got so much strength, he's shouting, praise the Lord! Praise the Lord! Praise the Lord! So loudly that somebody heard him 2 miles away, completely healed. And he told Brother Hagin, met him. It was years later when Dad Hagin met him. And he said, whenever I have my lungs x-rayed, the doctors say, you're the eighth wonder of the world. Did you know you've got a hole in your lung and yet it's working? We don't understand it. I always say to them, I've been that way all these years and I'm still in good health. I'm just going to keep enjoying it. Praise God. The answer came while he praised. The answer came while he praised. It was an act of faith. Praise is an act of faith. Praise is one of the best ways. See, faith has to be released. You can have faith in your heart, but if it's not released, it won't do any good. There was a man, the Bible tells us in Acts 14, that man in Lystra was sitting there. It says he was lame at his feet. He heard Paul preaching the gospel. And the Bible says he's sitting there and he's got faith to be healed. That hearing the gospel gave him faith to be healed, yet he's still sitting there crippled. He's got faith, but that faith hadn't been released. Faith's got to be released in order to be effective, in order to do something for us. And one of the greatest ways we can release our faith is to praise God. Amen? Praise is an act of faith. Hallelujah. Then number four, praise is the natural expression of a Spirit-filled life. Praise is the natural expression of a Spirit-filled life. When you get filled with the Spirit and when you stay full of the Spirit, it's going to be natural for you to praise God. Your flesh is not going to keep you from it. Why? Because if you're full of the Spirit, then your spirit's going to be calling the shots, not your flesh. Amen. Praise God. So it's the natural expression of a Spirit-filled life. The church, we know the church began on the day of Pentecost, right? In Acts chapter 2, the Holy Spirit is poured out. They came out of the upper room. Amen. And at the end of that chapter, we read these words describing the church in verse 47 of Acts 2. It says, praising God. Praising, everybody say it, praising God. Praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily those who are being saved. This was a distinguishing characteristic of the early church. Praising God. Praising God. Praising God. Hallelujah. In Ephesians 5, Paul writes this. He says, and do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be what? Filled with the Spirit. And then look at the next words, verse 19. Speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. It's the natural expression. It's the natural fruit, the natural outgrowth of being filled with and staying filled. And by the way, then Ephesians 5 there, when he says, be filled with the Spirit, that's in the continuous tense. Be continually in the process of being filled with the Spirit. So as we stay full of the Holy Spirit, the natural expression of that is going to be, we're going to be praising God. Amen. Amen? Hallelujah. And then number five is this. Praise, and Reed, you and Mike, come on back up. I want us to do that. Praise is the natural expression of gratitude for a changed life. Praise is the natural expression of gratitude for a changed life. Praise God. In Acts chapter 3, Peter and John are going into the temple. You know, they encounter the lame man. Verse 6, and Peter said, silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have, I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand, lifted him up. Immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. So he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered the temple with them, walking, leaping, and doing what? Walking, leaping, and praising God. Walking, leaping, and praising God. Hallelujah. This man just had his life changed. This man couldn't walk. Now he can walk. Hallelujah. What's he doing about that? He's praising God. He's praising God. Praise is a natural expression of having your life changed. Hallelujah. Jesus, the leper, the 10 lepers came to Jesus and asked Jesus to have mercy on them and heal them. And verse 17, or chapter 17 of the book of Luke, in verse 15, and one of them, when he saw that he was healed, returned and with a loud voice glorified God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Has the Lord done anything for you? Has he changed your life? Has he changed your life? Praise is a natural expression of a changed life. Hallelujah. We ought to be full of praise for what God's done for us. Amen. Hallelujah. Number 6, the last one is this. Praise gives us access to the presence of God. Praise gives us access to the presence of God. Psalm 100, verse 4, it says, enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts, how? With praise. With praise. Be thankful to him and bless his name. My grandson, Elliot, I was with him, got to spend about 2 or 3 days with him in a row when we went on our little vacation in the mountains. And we were talking one day. I think maybe I was reading him a Bible story one evening. And he looked up at me and he said something about Jesus. And then he looked up at me and he said, God is everywhere. 3 years old. He said, God is everywhere. I said, that's right, Elliot. He is. And you know, God is everywhere. But you know what? Most of the time, people are not conscious of God because there's a thin veil between the natural realm. You know, y'all come on out. We're almost done. If you're ready to come out, if the kids are ready, they can join us. Praise God. We're going to worship God again some more today. Amen. There's a thin veil. There's a thin veil between the natural realm and the spiritual realm. That spiritual realm is just as real, if not more real, than the natural realm. And when we praise God, you know what happens? We pierce that veil. We pierce that veil. And we become conscious of the God who is everywhere, that yes, he's here. It moves us into his presence. Praise gives us access to the presence of God. Hallelujah. That's why it's so powerful when we gather together and when we praise God together. If we can get everybody doing it, if we can get everybody praising God in unison, in one accord, in agreement, what a great presence of God that brings us all into. I don't know if any of you ever attended any of Benny Hinn's healing crusades, but we would spend the first hour praising God. Why? Because Benny Hinn knew he couldn't heal anybody. He knew it was God. He knew it was the power of God and the presence of God. His whole purpose was to get those thousands gathered in those arenas into the presence of God. And he did through praise. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God. Glory to God. So praise gives us access to the presence of God. And I'll just say this too. I don't have any scriptures on this, but I got to thinking about this too. And that's this. You know, praise is contagious. Praise is contagious, isn't it? Hallelujah. Now, you may have folks that are asymptomatic with their praise. And too much of the time we've been that way. We've been asymptomatic with our praise. And asymptomatic people aren't going to infect anybody else. But if you get somebody that's fully infected with praise, they are highly contagious. And if you put them in a room in confined quarters with other, there's no telling how far and fast and deep that infection is going to spread. Hallelujah. It's contagious. Have you noticed that? If you notice that when other people start praising God, it motivates you to. That's why God calls us to come together. That's why He said, forsake not the assembling of ourselves together. That's why we saw in these demon-controlled blue states, these governors issuing decree. Well, yeah, you can go to church, but only 10 of you, and you got to stay 6 feet apart, and you can't sing. That's what they said. You can't sing. Well, they didn't know. They were ignorant. They didn't know what they were saying, but the devil behind them knew that. I know what we're going to shut down. The power of God here. We're going to shut down this stuff here. Well, we can sing, and we are going to sing. Hallelujah. So stand up with me. Stand up with me. And let's praise Him a little bit more this morning. What do you say? Hallelujah. I'm telling you, the enemy is silenced. The enemy is silenced when we praise God. The enemy is put to flight when we praise God. It's a weapon. It's our sacrifice. Just don't let Solomon outdo us today. Come on. Let's not let God say, "Whoa, did you see what Solomon did?" Let's let God say, like Amanda said, He saw our smiling faces as we praise Him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Go ahead, guys.